Listen to the PA Rut Report, Pennsylvania's premier podcast station, PA Rut.
All right, all right, all right. You're here with PA Rut Report's Hunting, Fishing, and Outdoors. We have the Tipton Creek boys here from Tipton Creek Turkey Calls. Also have Brother Roy, PA Rut Rob, and yours truly, PA Rut Brad, coming at you. First of all, we want to recap the last episode and what we talked about there with, the morels popping up, and they should be pretty good right
now.
You
should tell them that Brother Roy was here.
Yeah, I did say that Brother Roy was here. You need to pay attention. You need to pay attention to the intro. I am going to give the mic to Brother Roy to let you know what's going on with the morels, and he has some interesting news here himself with some stuff that he just got done today. So, Brother Roy, without further ado.
I'm assuming everybody that hunts morels at least found one by now. I'm thinking everybody at least found one. But I've been doing pretty well myself.
You're trying to give people complexes.
Not really. No. I've been out four times, and I've got a pretty good haul each time. And well, tomorrow I got the whole day off, so tomorrow's going to be a full day of hiking. And found a lot of big yellow ones today, which is nice. The first ones of them I've seen, the real big ones.
At this point in the, the season, the rain that we got, how much does that influence where they were?
The rain has been almost perfect. These thunderstorms coming through and just the showers overnight. And last year was dry, hot and dry.
Yep.
It wasn't a very good year. This year it seems to be perfect. I mean, I pulled over today on the way in from work and I was picking them underneath the guardrail right along the road.
We're about.
Yeah, it might have been down by Bedford or something.
Bedford, out there in Tipton. What?
Back 40C.
Oh, you want to go there?
Yeah.
He wants to go there. Gross self-promotion. Let's get the gross self-promotion out of the way.
Right now, we are talked earlier about wanting to start a seed company. We got everything set up for it. Everything went through. We're officially now the Back 40 Seed Company, Premium Wildlife Forage. We don't have all our product packaged and ready to go yet, but here within the next week to 2 weeks, we should be up and running with a website and have food plot seed.
There you go.
Ready to go.
There you have it. So, if you're interested in doing some spring maintenance worker, planting some stuff in the spring. Look up Brother Roy. First of all, he's got a lot of information about what you can do with that stuff you could buy from Back 40. Yeah,
check Back it out. 40 Seed Company, you can get a hold of them through us or Brother Roy, preferably Brother Roy's page. We'll be posting a lot of stuff on there once they get up and running. But any questions you have, if you're looking at us, shoot us an email. You can come in there and private message us on Facebook or Instagram, whatever you need to do to get some information on that. But should be pretty good. These guys have been doing it for years, and they know what they're doing. They know what seeds work, especially in Pennsylvania and our climate here. So definitely worth checking out, especially if you're in Pennsylvania here planting seed, want something to grow, and not waste money on stuff that doesn't work. All right.
There you have it.
Coming into the podcast here tonight, we have Tipton Creek Turkey Calls here with Jim and Rick. Say hello, Jim and Rick. How you guys doing tonight?
Good, guys. How are you?
How you guys doing?
All right. We're here doing a thing in the Sugar Shack.
Doing our thing.
And, these guys don't, we say all the time we're doing this thing in a shed. And I'm not sure that they really realized we were doing it in a shed, but now they know we are
now
in
they're
a
in
shed.
The, they're in the shed, so.
Oh, yeah, they're in the shed.
It's a very nice shed.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. You know, I appreciate it.
We might close the doors and get a little weird here in a little bit. But yeah,
well,
so
10 years from now or something.
Tipton Creek Turkey Calls. Found out who these guys were probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, about that.
If you have never seen their merchandise, there's one merchandise with a turkey foot, print of a turkey foot. And you drive around our area and you drive around their area, which their area is about 20 miles from our area. They are just Tipton Creek Turkey Call stickers over the place.
I've seen so many on back of trucks. That's all I do for a living is drive around. And you guys are definitely throwing those things out there or... You know,
well, that many people are representing the product. It's got to be a good product.
Got to be some good stuff, yeah. So, what do you guys? What stages are you in now? I know that basically, if they were buying something off you, a lot of the guys around here probably already bought it. You probably sold a POW at the Altoona Jaffa Sports Show, which is a huge show for you guys. So, I know you guys were there. We were there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? What you guys do? Who you're involved with? Where you make them? Stuff like that. It's just shoot away.
Well, I guess everything started about 7 years ago. Jim Bob and myself, kind of on a whim, We met up. Jim Bob was making a couple pot calls here and there. I was into making mouth calls. We met up one day and started talking about a mouth call press. And Jim Bob's a machinist by trade. And a good mouth call press is going to cost you, I don't know, $700-$800 and a cutter for the mouth calls. He gave me a call probably 2-3 weeks later. And he said, hey, I took some time at work and here's what I made. So he made us a mouth call press. And I mean, that's how it all started.
Here, it is. Here just, we are.
Yeah.
So you started out with mouth calls.
Yeah, a couple pot calls. And
then you worked into getting a lathe, started making your own slate calls. Now, where do you guys, I know that you guys make this, you know, of course here in Tipton, Pennsylvania, but where do you get your materials from to do the lathe, the wood, the slate, all that stuff?
Your slate, your glass, your crystal, your aluminum, that comes from like a general supplier.
Okay. I mean,
there's a couple guys in the country that do it. We got lucky. The one guy that Jim Bob went to school with is actually one of the suppliers that supplies guys, all over the country. That's where we get all our slate and stuff like that from.
Now, do you cut that yourself? Does that come in a sheet?
No, it actually comes pre-cut.
Okay.
So whatever size. And a little tidbit information. All the slate calls,
secrets.
Whoever makes them, it's all Pennsylvania slate.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's all PA slate. Pretty cool. I mean, at first when we were making the pot calls, we were doing them out of like stuff that looked pretty. The cedar calls, they looked fancy. They looked
polishing them up, painting them,
but they didn't, the sound quality wasn't there. So what we actually did is we found out that like, say our zebra calls, it's a zebra wood that we use, lace wood that we use. We actually went on a website. And the calls that we know that sounded good, there's a violin maker's site, and they ran sound waves through the wood, and it had a readout of the sound waves. So we picked the woods that had the right sound waves, and that's how we come up with the woods.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Intense.
Well,
right here in Tipton, Pennsylvania, we're doing
sound wave.
We're doing sound waves through the violin, you know, testing. That's crazy. That's crazy.
A turkey call.
I hope that we hear some. We're out here, and we are in my shed, but we're out here in the sticks, so it'd be cool to hear one sound off in the distance. You know, we had the doors open and people were mowing and stuff like that. But
there you go.
It'd be cool to hear one sound off in the distance right now. But
like a lullaby.
It's crazy. You guys do that, go to that, you know, get that intense with it, and I guess you have to be able to sell as many calls as you guys do. And you just really, you really did just shows and kind of like hand to hand sales. For years.
Yeah,
and now you're coming into, I hear you're finally starting to sell online and just, you're branching out a little bit, but for how many years did you guys just sell hand to hand?
Up to this year. Yeah. I mean,
up to this year.
Yeah, this
year. How many years have you been in business?
We've been doing it about 7 years.
So seven years you guys did hand to hand sales and you're still here. You're still making money. Yep. You're still doing a really great job at it. You know, that takes a lot of care, you know, a lot of knowledge, a lot of fails. You know, I'm sure you guys had some failures and we still have some stuff. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, you're still learning every year, but they just branched out into selling online. So the people that are listening right now, you know, sometimes they fade out. So why don't you guys give your website where you can get a Tipton Creek turkey call right now? That way they know.
Well, our website right now is TiptonCreekTurkeyCalls.com. We have a shop there. You can shop online. We've been running it now for about a month. It's been unbelievable. Nice. It really has.
So you guys are hammering those out now online. Are you thinking about maybe branching out other than, you know, I guess you guys are kind of a little woodworking shop in somebody's basement, or how do you guys do it? Do you have in a garage?
Yeah, we actually have, we've been working out of Jim Bob's basement for the whole entire time. Now we have, I don't know, two rooms, probably 20 by 12 in my garage that we're getting ready to refinish and put like a showroom in.
Okay.
Where people, if they want to stop and see stuff, they can stop and see it, test it out, you know.
So you're branching out a little bit, like just a little bit more every year. And now that you've said the online sales, so you said it's going really well.
Yes, it is.
You know, the people that I've seen stickers everywhere. It's unbelievable how many truck stickers I see.
Yeah, we have
Tipton Creek turkey calls. And I'm just right here in central Pennsylvania. Yeah. I'm saying I travel everywhere. So I see a lot of the stuff. I see some guys wearing your hats, your t-shirts. So, I mean, you know, it's getting big. And I don't know, you know, I don't know how big it's getting, but. Like your online sales, you get a lot of out of state stuff.
It's big already.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we've had Oklahoma, Illinois,
Ohio, West Virginia. We're getting all over the place.
So that's cool. Good
stuff.
You guys are shipping this stuff all over the place. And whenever you guys sell a call now, is that plus shipping? So
yes.
So you're selling a call, and I know you have different calls. So you put your coin on the back of one of the calls. So what's that mean?
That's a special edition. Special edition.
Well, now all our park calls have coins in the back now.
Okay.
They all have them.
Well, I know whenever you did the shows, you only had certain ones that had the coin on the back. So what did that mean for customers buying those for you guys?
Well, back then, I think it meant these were the screamers. These are the best calls we made. Well, now the last 2 years, pretty much every call we make sounds awesome, whether it be luck or whether it be skill.
Are there going to be a set of guys in 35 years sitting around a table getting ready to do a podcast that the one guy pulls out a Tipton Creek turkey call and he's like, "Look at this, guys." And the people look at it and they're like, "Oh man, that's good quality, man."
I probably won't be around in 35 years, but I hope somebody is.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. You guys are selling a lot of stuff out of state, and you know, online sales is huge now. You know, people don't want to get their butts off the couch; they want to buy everything online. And, you know, I'm one of them. Really, you can find a better deal on there or better quality of something that you're looking for. And you know, what people are looking for in a turkey call is somebody that hand makes them, somebody that did their research, and you know, and had their failures. But it seems like you guys are doing what you need to do to take over that industry here in Pennsylvania, and now you're branching out into other states, and I think that's completely awesome.
A good thing with all that is they buy a call from us. We have a thousand different strikers.
Yep.
So we can sound test that with a striker.
You can accessorize, folks.
And we can make it like you're going to get you're not just going to get a Walmart buy a call with a striker. You're going to get a call that's been run with the striker that you're getting that sounds great, or we're not going to send it to you. Same with our mouth calls. Every one of our mouth calls, like for the longest time, I was a Quaker Boy guy before we started doing this. Well, I'd have to go buy 10 or 15 mouth calls to get two of them that sounded the same, and they're the same exact call. Nothing against Quaker Boy, nothing against every one of our mouth calls. There's actually with the press he made has an indicator on it. So the stretch is right. So if you buy a mouth call from us today, and you come back in 3 years and say, "I want this certain mouth call again," it's going to be as close as humanly possible to being the same exact call.
You heard it earlier. These guys get pretty scientific.
Yeah. So you have a number on all of your calls, mouth calls especially, that say, "Hey, this is what I want. This is what's working here in my state. This is what's working here in my area. They're sounding off to this call. I want this exact number right now." And you're going to produce that for them.
Yeah, we have a
years
book
down the road.
Yeah, we have a book. Jim Bob and I call it the Bible. We've had it since day one. It's an old notebook. And it has ones, the first mouth call we ever made, and there's the latex of the prophylactic has a certain stretch on it. Everything has its own little formula. We have from the first one we've ever made. Now, a lot of them have X's on them. A lot of them are, hey, this wasn't exactly, but it's just trial and error.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Well, for business to be in business 7 years based on primarily word of mouth sales, know that the product has to be something that, I mean, you would have failed by now were it not a quality product in the market space that we're in, because turkey hunters, by nature can be a little bit picky sometimes probably, but it is very much a feel, and it is very much a what has worked for you type of scenario.
Yes.
So again, people come back for that point. What do you think your volume of recurring sales is from a percentage standpoint? If I buy one, am I coming back and buying another one?
Hey, well, if you go by the Jaffa show, do very well.
Every year, yeah.
Because we see the same guys every year, and you know they're still buying calls off of us. Still buying pot calls off us.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we appreciate that. And, you know, there's been countless times we've met guys at Sheets parking lot, Rossi's corner store parking lot, and, you know, and just met them before we got online.
Lowe's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dick's Sporting Goods.
At 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, 10 o'clock at night, you're waiting for the cops to pull in. Yeah, it's, yeah.
Two guys looking in the side of the truck.
Hey, we're just dealing turkey calls here. We're just dealing turkey calls here.
One guy's handing the other guy money. Yeah, it doesn't look good, that's for sure.
But that was kind of our theory from, like, the beginning was you always want to be that guy, that company. You want to be that.
Yep.
But if we can't keep quality up, there's no reason. People aren't going to come back.
Well, yeah.
So we keep our quality. It's just
there's nothing disposable about your product.
Yeah.
I mean, the majority of things you buy nowadays, you're buying it because it's quick and easy to get, and you can, for all intents and purposes, throw it away the next day.
Exactly. Exactly.
These are products that when you buy one, you don't necessarily have to buy another one the next year, but the quality of what you get, it'll last almost probably for a lifetime.
Forever.
Really,
yeah, forever.
So the you guys are making these calls. All of you know how to run all that equipment. How's that work? Or do you have certain guys in your crew that only run that equipment? How's that work? Because I know that you guys are really you know intense and serious about what you guys are putting out. So is there, I mean, I'm sure there's a guy that's better at making them than others. How's that work for you?
Oh, guys? There's no question. Jim Bob does all the spinning. He does all the pots. He works the lathe for us. The other stuff, it's pretty much a mix. But when it comes to the measurements in the on the pot and stuff like that, Jim Bob, he'll be the one that spins them out.
He's the ladies' man too, right?
He's a guy's man. He's whatever's man. He's a man.
He is whatever you need him.
He's the man
tonight.
Yeah.
hopefully he's asleep right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So before this online sales, I know this is very new to you guys, and I think it's great. I really do think it's great. But before the online sales, how many calls did you all put out in 1 year?
See,
I was talking about slate calls, or I'm sorry, the buck.
Like a pot call.
Pot call, yeah.
We use it, well, no, if you include the Jaffa show.
Because that's a lot. I mean, that's hammering.
And now what we, see, it's kind of tough too, because there's been TV shows that we make calls for different shows. Like guys that have had TV shows, yeah. We make a series of calls for them. We do, like, for example, this year, SCI International, we did 120 custom calls for them. I mean, so every year, I mean, you'll have some big orders like that, but we probably do about 200, 250 a year for ourself, you know, that we sell.
Now you've opened it up online. You guys are going to have to find some help.
Yeah, it's been
crazy. That's what you want to shoot for.
No, I just want to retire. I want to retire and just do turkey calls all the time.
Help. So a funny story in relation to you guys' product. I got a buddy that's getting married at the end of August, and he's like, what can I get for groomsmen? I was like, flasks, you got whatever the standard stuff is you're going to get. And I was like, why don't you get them all? Because everybody in our group of guys is pretty much an avid hunter, fisherman, and we're outdoorsmen at some level. I said, why don't you just get them turkey calls? Because a good bit of them were turkey hunters, but every one of them, it would have been something that's unique and original and create appeal. So get them turkey calls, and instead of dinging the glasses when you want the bride and groom to kiss, you just hear turkey calls all night. Gop, 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 gop.
That's a good idea.
That's a
pretty good
crazy
idea.
Yeah, we actually, we've done them for grooms, like for the bridal party. We've done, you know, actually one, they won't know who they were, but there's one we made this year. It was he's going to hand it to his fiance when the sun comes up. First thing, and it's going to say, "Will you marry me?" I mean, we've done it with memorials where somebody's passed away. We made a whole six or seven of them for the family.
Nice,
you know. We've done so. We do like the custom laser engraving, or we can put the picture in it. We can do a father and son, their first turkey together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, back to the old, "Will you marry me?" deal. You better do that before the sun comes up.
Yeah.
Because it might ruin the whole deal there. You know, you got some birds flying off the roost, and we got to hold on here a second. Yeah, you know, something's, you know, not saying it's more important, but, you know, we got to put a turkey on the ground. We're out here for a reason.
Yeah. Well, we'll put the turkey on the ground, and then we'll see, will you marry me?
So you guys make, you know, a ton of turkey calls a year. You're planning on making a lot more now that you open up the internet. That's awesome. Whenever I saw you guys first at the Jaffa show and you said that you weren't selling on the internet, I'm thinking these guys are crazy, you know, but because how busy you were just there, you know, and, you know, you're doing this thing and you're doing multiple shows, and I know that you're doing multiple shows. So for you guys not to sell online, I'm like, this is nuts. Like, but you guys want your quality.
That's exactly
to where it's at. And I understand that now. I do understand that now. And now that you have something that you guys can, you mastered it. You can produce these things at a significant pace, put them out online. You know, that's great. I mean, that's phenomenal for you guys to be able to care as much and put these things out as fast as you can do it. So all these calls are going to sound great because these guys are doing it themselves. They're not sending anything out. It's all made right here in Pennsylvania, right here in central PA. That's the great thing about it. America, you've been to multiple states turkey hunting and doing this and that. Personally, your go-to gun shoot right now.
I have a 500. I shoot it with a, I only shoot 3-inch. My gun actually shoots 3-inch better than 3.5. And we use local guy. We use a Pattern Master choke tube. Every one of us uses an Anaconda Pattern Master choke tube. Yeah.
You know where the Pattern Master is at? Where they make Pattern Holiday Master at?
Right down, is it right here. Down there?
Yeah,
right
about
down
2 miles road. From my house.
Is it really? No, that's shit. Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
You know, another funny story, and this is somewhat off topic, but on topic. When I first met him across the way with the beard.
Jim.
Yes, Jim.
The second Jim. Or maybe the first Jim.
I said, man, he looks a whole lot like one of my buddies. And he does.
He does.
One of the doppelganger type of things. And it just so happens that the buddy's house is like,
right there. Half a mile down the road. I'm not kidding you. You look weird. Just like him.
It's weird.
It is weird.
But let's say this, drawing a hypothetical. If I am a entry-level turkey hunter, or I have a kid I want to get into turkey hunting, let's do a two-layered question here. One, going back to the calls that you produce, is there something that you suggest a young turkey caller to start with, techniques, products, stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely. You want to start out with a slate call. A slate call is going to be, it's a little more forgiving call. It's easier to run. It's easier to learn on. And that's pretty much a slate call is definitely where I would steer you in that direction.
If you're looking for technique, like can I call you up, Jim, in the middle of the night and ask you about your turkey calling technique? Can you give me a rundown?
Yeah, we actually.
Tips, tricks, hints, everything you need at the.
I mean, it's nice. That's where the shows are nice. I mean, you can actually take somebody and, you know, show them the different pressures, the different ways to use a striker, how to hold a striker, how to hold the call in your hand. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you kind of get away from on the, you know.
Yeah.
But that's one of our things we're gonna start doing here after turkey season's over. We want to do we have a YouTube channel.
Nice.
And we're gonna do like an introduction to turkey hunting, a how to do that, like how to run a slate call, how to make this noise with a slate call. When do you use this noise in the turkey woods? And
good idea.
Yeah. That's
a good idea. Yeah. So if I'm an avid hunter and want to get into turkey, haven't done it before, I can go to Tippin Creek. Calls.com, what is it? Tippin Creek?
Turkey Calls.
TurkeyCalls.com, and I can find that information out. So on the same note, if I am a beginning hunter or have a child that I want to hunt turkey, what kind of setup would you suggest? What kind of gun? Cheap, go mid-level? I mean,
it's going to depend on the size of the kid, how strong the kid is. I mean, if the kid can, for instance, my kids, I start them all out 8 years old. They killed their first turkeys at 8.
Nice.
They use my 12 gauge. I'll let them shoot some low brass or something out of it when we practice.
Yeah, but what people got to understand before you give a little bit more detail is you're pretty much, you're like a brute. So your kids at 8 years old were like the
no, I mean, I got, like I got 15, a little daughter. It's a little old. Barbie doll, man. Little Barbie doll. But anyways. But that's how I introduce them to it. You know, I mean, everybody start out with a BB gun.
Right.
Go to the 22, right. And then we're going to take, now with our shotguns, we all use red dot. So, I mean, that kind of gives you the, you know, put the dot on.
Yes. Yeah.
And sure. We always aim for where the black meets the white on its neck. Never aim for its head. So you aim a little bit low.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and you get a kid used to shooting at low brass.
Yep.
And then that's probably ignorant, but then the first morning I just slide a 3 or 3.5 in there, and they don't know any difference.
You're learning the hard way today, kid.
Yeah.
Well, with the adrenaline pumping and stuff like that, see that bird, if they hit the bird, or even if they don't hit the bird, they're not going to notice that difference. The difference in that shell, they're just going to, the adrenaline's going to be pumping, and, you know, everything happens so quickly, you know, no matter if you're deer hunting or turkey hunting, everything happens so fast, you don't really, you think back and what happened there, and you don't know.
And we're big, like, on, like, we don't use decoys. We don't use blinds. We don't use, now that's nice with a kid. Like, for instance, we took
to have blind or decoy.
You have them both. Then the blind, you can get away with a little bit more movement. You can kind of get them in position. Yeah. With the shooting sticks, if you have shooting sticks, you have the decoys to help out a little bit, just and make it enjoyable for the kid. The kid wants to lay there and take a nap.
Right.
Yeah. Want to have a snack, whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It makes it enjoyable for the kid when you're out there. And I mean, I think that's the biggest part of it.
Oh yeah. Experience. Yeah. You can't sour their experiences when they come out at a young age.
Definitely.
Expecting them to do, I mean, I walk through the woods with my kids when we go hunting and they're dragging their feet and they're making all kinds of noise. And your first instinct is to turn around and be like,
look. Yeah, definitely.
Get a little gruff maybe just because you happen to get a little gruff with them in regular parenthood. But when you're out in the woods with them, give them some slack.
Yeah.
Try to remember when you were their age out in the woods.
Turkeys is a little easier because I'll tell you what, turkeys make a lot of noise when it's dry.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, they make a lot of noise.
It's a lot more action.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, so how do you feel, the turkey season opener here, how do you feel the turkey opener statewide is going to handle? How do you think it's going to be? Do you think that we missed it? Do you think it's here? Do you think where's it at?
I'm a firm believer that we're a little late. I think we should be 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks earlier. Because we were at the Jaffa show, and there was guys coming up to us. No, they're out in the field screaming right now. And that was back in February.
Yep.
Now, it was warm, granted, but I just think we're a little late. I'd like to see us go maybe the second week of April and try it that way, because I think a lot of the guys, they find the birds, they're spent.
Yep. Yeah. Well, another thing, going back to the aspect of getting youth involved in our traditions, whether it's hunting turkey, fishing, and or hunting deer, at some point in time, based off of the nature of how things are going, they're going to have to make some type of alteration to these seasons in order to get people on the creatures that you're going out there to hunt. Because, I mean, it's a lot different when I was 12 years old going out with a bow and arrow and sitting in a tree stand all day and seeing 35, 40 deer, having the chance to shoot at two or three a sit probably, to now where you're lucky in a lot of instances to get a shot a year, and that's for yourself.
I agree with that 100%. And like us, I mean, we hunt a lot of state game land. We hunt on the big mountain. We're not really field hunters. We're we're picking them. Yeah, man, we're picking them up and putting them down. I mean, we're chasing turkeys all day long, and you go up the mountain now, there's just as many turkey hunters as there are deer hunters.
That's true. It seems
the hunting pressure is unbelievable.
Yeah. It seems year and year that it gets that there's just a little bit more of populace of turkey hunters out there, at least in my experience. Myself being one of them, I think the last time we were up at the Bearded Buck was the first time I ever actually hunted turkey. But it
was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
We didn't hear anything, but we had a heck of a walk, didn't we?
Yes, yes. But it's another thing about turkey hunting and kids is it's when you're hunting turkeys, you can control your atmosphere in a manner different than you can control your atmosphere almost doing anything else in the woods from a hunting perspective. So what they do has an effect on what happens with what's coming into them.
Yeah.
So that's another thing with kids. If you're looking for something to start them with, that is a very good sport or a very good species to start them with because of that.
And with the turkey, I mean, you blow your chance right now. You can take a half mile walk and there's another one you can work. I mean, it's a continuous.
Yep.
You know, it's not, okay, that buck walk by, you missed him.
We're done.
We're pretty much done for the day, or,
After you yell at him.
But that all goes back to, the turkey population in Pennsylvania, I think, is good. I think it's great right now. I think it's probably better than it ever has been. Not ever has been, but for,
it's as good as I can remember. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, I sit here, I drive out my house to work every day, and I see blown up birds in the field. I see hens. I see gobblers running together, across roads. And I'm like, holy smokes, they're everywhere, And that's what it comes with the times. Now's the time. Like, we need to be in the woods this morning. We need to be in the woods a week before this in the morning in order to be able to, have that experience where you're harvesting a bird. Then they make us wait, and the game commission, I will never bash a game commission. You know, they do what they do. But they push all these seasons back so far and end them so early that we don't get to see that crazy strutting for turkeys or that crazy rutting for bucks. It's just, we don't
like
get
the way,
that
I like
season.
The way your voice changes when you say rutting.
Rutting. But, you know, so like for instance, for turkey season, you know, they're hammering right now. We need to be out there right now. They may shut up. So it's going to be tough to find a bird and tough to fool that old gobbler, you know, coming into this season, the opener until the end. And really it's pretty much almost over coming into the first week of it. So how do you guys, so this brings up another question. How do you guys, you two, you've been in turkey season, turkey business for a long time. How do you fool that old Tom that's shutting up, that knows that, you know, it's pretty much over, but how do you fool him? Let's hear some tactics here on PA.
I mean, we've
hunting, fishing and outdoors.
Every bird is a different. I mean, there's not just a general, here's how you do it.
Right.
I mean, every bird, there's a little, he has his own little thing, is what he's doing every day. I mean, and most of these gobblers, like you're going to get a gobbler and he's going to roost within 100 yards where he roosts every night, unless something happens right before roost.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, he's going to have his pattern. But, I mean, we've been later in the year where you call to that turkey, and I try not to call to a bird on the limb ever. I'll let him fly down. Then we'll go. I'll let him gobble a couple times. Then we'll start the game. What will happen sometimes, you almost have, if you have other guys in the woods, you got to call to him to let him know where you're at. We've had birds pitch away from us, fly directly away from us. So what we've done is we've sat on one side and we take the other guy and you put him 40 yards on the other side of him and you call to him and he pitches down, he's going to pitch toward the other guy. I mean, some of these birds, they're the same with the bucks. I mean, the bucks are getting a lot smarter, a lot more educated.
So not only the bucks, you know, but the does.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
And it might be the same way with the hens. I don't know.
It's the same thing. It's the same. And then you get a lot of people now too that you hear a turkey gobble, and I don't care who you are, if you've done it a million times, when he starts gobbling, there's just something about it, man. There's just, and you want to make him gobble and you want to make him gobble. I mean, you actually, there's some, you just, I take my call and I just put it down. I'm done. You know, cause you just want to keep calling him and letting him, but like I said, and I'd love to say that our turkey call is 90% of it. 90% of it's woodsmanship,
right,
man.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Woodsmanship.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I was out there just, I took my lunch break today and I went to hunt morels, and man, it was like probably like quarter to 11 o'clock. I was out there hunting morels and I heard turkeys hammering, you know, and then, all of a sudden, you know, it went quiet for a while and I'm sitting there hunting morels, and then it went up to, probably like 15 minutes. I didn't hear 20 minutes. I didn't hear a turkey. And then all of a sudden it was like, boom, 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 right in a row, just hammering, probably four or five calls from a gobbler right in a row. And I was like, oh, he's on something over there. And I'm like, man, wouldn't it be great just to have this, you know, have a shotgun and a call in my hand. And this thing was only probably within 300 yards of me. So, you know, it was pretty cool to hear that. You know, we don't get to experience that kind of deal, but I tell you what, if you can take any Joe Schmo, put him out in the woods in the morning right now, right as it breaks light. I don't care where you're at in the woods, and they're going to hear a turkey gobble. Guaranteed.
Agreed.
And they're going to be like, oh, what is that? Well, that's a turkey gobble. So, you know, it's just different. But you take them out here a week from now, it's going to be different. You may not hear that. But, you know, so it's, so there's a lot of give and take. The game commission is doing what they got to do. Is it the right thing? I don't know.
And I'm sure a lot of it's tied into trout season too.
Yeah.
You're up in these, you start crossing over with that.
Yeah, and they're thinned out. They are thinned out. I mean, you know, but
we all know the numbers are down as far as hunters and stuff like that. So,
yep.
But just, I don't know. It's just right now in the woods. I mean, I live out here. I can wake up at any break, any day, right at the break of light, sit in my front porch, and I'm hearing them hammer all around me. That's a great sound. I mean,
bragging.
No, I'm not bragging. I'm just, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to hear that stuff and
that's
to hear
an awesome sound.
Go in the woods and just hear a hen clucking, you know, or doesn't matter if it's a gobbler or whatever it is, but, you know, to hear the sounds of the woods, and, you know, half the people that are hunters, that claim they're hunters, or whatever. They'll go out in the woods. They probably don't even know what a hen sounds like. You know, they know what a turkey sounds like, but they don't know what a hen sounds like. Yeah. You hear a hen clucking off in the distance. I'm thinking maybe only 100 yards away from you. They don't know what that is.
Yep.
And they sit there and mess around and stuff like that. But, you know, to get in those woods and feel that and hear that, it's a great experience. And, you know, I just wish that we could get out there right now with our kids, with ourselves, and harvest an animal. Because a lot of these kids that are young, maybe they're 5 years old, they can't handle a shotgun. But their dads want to take them out, and turkey season's a great deal for these kids to get out there and do what they do in the woods. And, you know, they'll go ahead and go out there with their dad. And if it was a couple weeks earlier, you know, maybe their dad would have a little more success, get that kid into hunting a little bit better, you know, and they'd have a better experience out there. So it's, you know, there's a lot of give and take. There's a lot of
And I think a big part of that is, too, I mean – we go out west every year. I mean, we're always – this year's, for the exception, we didn't go anywhere this year. We reinvested for machinery, but for the company. But we're out a month before our season comes in. And, you know, I mean, you're out west. I mean, I'm sure it's a little different. Uh-huh. But, I mean, you work your way back this way. You know, we're the last state to come in, and it's just – I don't know. It's just – it's not a good thing. They need to definitely
consider. You just miss it. You almost miss it.
Yeah.
You almost miss, like, the excitement, like, to get, like, can you know, imagine being out there right now. And I know you can take kids out right now, like, and people, you know, people listening to this podcast might say, well, take them out. Let them listen to the birds. You know, hit that call. Let them listen to the birds. Well, you're educating those birds.
Exactly.
So now you can't kill one. And that's fine. But it's not all about the killing. But, you know, you go out there in the season, and you hit that call, and nothing happens. You hit that call, and nothing happens. You might not hear anything all day long. You take the kid back. You want to go out again? Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But right now, you go out there right now,
yep,
this instant, in April 18th, April 20th, whatever it may be, you go out right now, and you sit a kid in the woods, and you're going to hear, you don't even have to call. You're going to hear, blah, 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 you know, everywhere around you. And that's the cool deal. That's a cool deal, you know. I can't do the turkey call. I'm sorry. I can't do the gobble.
I was close.
I apologize. But, you know, that's the cool deal about being in the woods and waking up and hearing that stuff. And,
absolutely.
You know, to get the kids interested and keep them interested. But it's still just a touch too late, I believe. I really think so.
I definitely agree.
So the property that I hunt archery on, well, just hunt whitetail on in general, for the past probably 3 years, I started seeing turkeys. So there's been a flock of turkey between 14 and 23 birds up there that walk around on a regular basis. So I'm up in my tree stand. And like anything else, when you hear anything moving around, a good amount of time, it is those turkeys that are coming down through. So for years and years and years, I've been talking about attempting to hunt traditionally for turkeys, so getting a long bow and going out there and letting them fly after them.
Or a muzzle at a shotgun.
The turkey hunter that wants to hunt archery for turkey, you have any tips for them?
Blind.
blind, yes.
I mean, and it's all on what you want to make it. I mean, it's... You know, I mean, I've tried it in South Dakota with my bow on the ground, get a blind, get a couple of decoys.
Yep. See what happens.
See what I mean. And if you're in them, you know that they're there.
Right.
Them turkeys will be around. You know what I mean? Now, you take me to the big mountain. Nah, man, I want a gun in my hand. Yeah, I want a gun in my hand.
You increase the probability by two.
Yeah. And there's just something about shooting them in the face. I don't know what it is. There's just something about it.
There's just something about being able to shoot something in the face.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, a lot of things, exciting things coming up in the Pennsylvania woods from whether it's trout fishing and or turkey hunting or going out and foraging, morel hunting, all
that
stuff.
Thing you could do, like we said in the last episode, you can do all that stuff in season. You can hunt turkeys in the morning. They're not hammering. Go look for somewhere else.
Yep.
You know.
Always something you can do.
If you're fishing,
Yep.
You're trout fishing. Right? You're trout fishing until 10 o'clock. You wake up at 10 o'clock in the morning. You're trout fishing until 10. It's dead. All right, let's go look for somewhere else. Or let's put the fishing rod away, grab the shotgun, let's go look for some turkey. Whatever you're going to do.
Do that now. We'll go turkey hunting in the morning, then we'll go trout fishing in the afternoon if we have the whole day off.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do. Right now in the woods, it's unbelievable.
So real,
what Pennsylvania has to offer right now in the spring.
Real quick along those lines of what Pennsylvania has to offer right now, going back to trout fishing, if you're into fly fishing or you want to get into fly fishing, now's a good time of the year to start. The hatches are starting to come off. The fish are getting pretty active, and the weather's starting to warm up. It's a nice thing to get out and do. Well, that and just regular spin fishing for trout. It's a good time to get out there. Time of year is now.
So let's get back to turkey hunting. Let's get back to hunting in general.
Okay.
So I put a Facebook video out there today where a guy got shot in the leg.
Yeah, I watched that. I watched that. I shared it.
Man, that's terrible. Terrible. So if you look at our Facebook page, PA Rut Report, Facebook.com/PA Rut Report, if you look at that video, this guy, they're sitting there calling, and a guy gets shot from behind in the butt cheek slash leg. He's sitting there with a guy who is videotaping, and he's sitting with another guy who's videotaping.
Took one in the butt.
You know, some guy was shooting from behind him. I guess they maybe saw something move. I'm not really sure what happened. You know, people make mistakes, but ultimately you have to know what you're shooting at. So, you know, in lieu of that video that I posted today, I want to know, like, Rick, Jim, Rob, myself, have you ever had any close calls like that? And if you want to comment on that video and how it, and what happened with that video to maybe protect these hunters a little bit better going out there turkey hunting, let's hear it.
Well, I've had guys walk up on me, and fortunately they weren't aiming at me or anything like that. But the biggest thing I can say is rule one, rule two, rule three in turkey hunting, identify your target.
Identify your target. Hunting.
If you're not sure, don't shoot.
So what do you think? Did you guys watch the video that we posted up today? All right, so.
Well, you didn't even give me a chance to tell my story.
I'm sorry.
I got one too, man.
All right. Running through it. Running through.
I'm going to let Jim go because mine's a little off topic, but still on topic.
I have two stories, so it's going to be.
Mine's off topic. It's not turkey hunting, but it's close call.
Okay, well then.
Close calls are good. I said any hunt.
It was when
anything matters here.
Archery season overlapped with squirrel. And you'd hear these shots getting closer and getting closer. I'm thinking, can't be. I'm just, how it's echoing through the valley, it's not that close. Well, it was me and my brother was up there with me. I actually had a broken foot. So we're sitting there, and the next shot I hear, I could hear the pellets in the leaves above me. That's as close as I ever came.
It's close. That's close.
Very close. Yeah. That's real close.
My instance was hunting birds, but of a different kind. For years and years and years, we'd go out and hunt
robins
pheasants.
And stuff. Oh,
okay. We'd go out and hunt, robins, standards. Crows on occasion, sparrows.
All right, we're on the pheasants.
Yeah, so we're hunting pheasants for a lot of years. My family had bird dogs, so we'd go out and hunt pheasants. So for a lot of years, they used to stalk down by Canoe Creek. So in the prime time of the season, there's usually 8 or 9, 10 sets of guys out there hunting. So when you're hunting for pheasants, you're on the move. You're going straight down this line. In the adjacent set of fields to you, there's guys doing the same thing, coming back the other way. On two occasions, I've had the same thing you had. You can hear the BBs.
Yeah, not a good feeling.
No. Nor is it. We were out there 1 year. Dog comes running back with a pair of underwear, kids' underwear, filled with crap. side discussion.
I was waiting for it to be like a nice pink pair of thong panties or something.
Rick, you ever have any close experiences with being shot?
No close experiences. Like I've had guys walk up to me in turkey season looking for the bird, and I had to address them accordingly. But
that happens a lot.
It happens a lot.
Like
especially on public land. Yeah. You guys hunt a lot of public land.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Well, you get a guy in between you and a bird. It happens a lot.
I had two instances. One time I was pheasant hunting Canoe Creek State Park.
Stealing my pheasants.
Story. Well, pheasants flew over. They flushed pheasants. They had dogs. They flushed pheasants. Well, when you're in a state park like that, you have to understand that your field is your shooting lane. You cannot shoot in a different field. we're running through this shooting lane. We see these pheasants fly over, and all of a sudden, six, seven guys unload on this pheasant. These two pheasants coming over. I got hit in the face with BBs, all over my chest. My buddy got hit. You know, of course, we freaked out on them, you know, telling them that they shouldn't be doing what they're doing in so many words that I can't say on a podcast. Yeah. That was one instance that I actually got hit with BBs in the face. I actually had some, I used to wear glasses. I had glasses on, and I'm not sure that if I didn't have these glasses on that my eyes wouldn't have got hit. So, you know, that was one instance. And then another instance I had, I was actually very, very young. I think I was about 15 years old. I was going up into, I live in out here in game lands around my house. And I live in the same house now. I bought it off my parents that I lived in whenever I was younger. I went up in the woods up here behind the house. I was walking into the woods, squirrel hunting, grouse hunting like I always did all by myself. My dad was cool with me, you know, handling a weapon by myself, you know, no problems. I tripped and I fell. When that gun butt went out in front of me, and I didn't have the safety on, and I hit that trigger as I was falling, and that gun went off, and it blew my hat off. Blew my orange hat off, and there was BBs in the hat brim. I didn't know if I was shot or not. I can remember this like it was yesterday. I didn't know if I was shot or not. I sat down. The gun was laying on the ground. I didn't have the gun in my hand anymore. I sat there. I don't know how long I sat there for, but I was so shaken up. You know, I didn't pick it up. I just sat there. I realized that I wasn't hurt. I picked up my hat. I saw that there was BBs on the BB holes in the hat brim. What a close call, you know. That I had there.
Too close.
I've never treated a gun the same way since. I've been so protective of everything that I've had whenever I had a gun in my hand since then, which is probably, you know, a good story in respect to that. But, man, I tell you what, I almost blew my own damn head off.
Yeah.
Right up here, 100 yards from my own house. At 15 years old, that's
things are getting a little morbid in this scene.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, just gun stories and close calls and what you got to do and be protective of yourself, not only yourself but other people out there. And one wrong move, like you said, one wrong move could end somebody else's life or your own. So you got to be careful.
Seemed like that last story you told should have been the first story you told.
What's that?
Seems like you had issue with recollecting that particular one where you almost blew your own head off. Other time.
Yeah.
And getting to that, I mean, that's something I'll take, like, the kids, I'll start the kids out, like, 4 years old with plastic, whatever it is, sitting against the couch, sitting between my legs, watching a turkey video.
Yep.
And you start talking them through it. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Like, so you're playing it just like it's going to go down in the woods, hopefully, you know. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's what that turkey's going to do. Okay. Now let's knock the trigger. Let's knock the safety off. Don't put your finger in the trigger yet. And I reenact all that sitting against the couch in the house over and over and over again.
Yep.
So when you That's go into the deal. Woods, it's just, you know, it's second nature to them.
You know, I do the same thing. I have three daughters. My two oldest daughters hunt. One's 24, one's 18. And I was like that constantly on them. Safety on, this and that. Whether to the point now they do it to me. So I guess I've taught them well enough that...
Safety on, Dad.
Is a safety on.
They're always, they're constantly on me now. So
yeah, they're like, don't question me. I know what I'm doing.
Well, not to take these things in a political avenue, but if you look at the concept of gun control and gun safety and all this stuff that's being talked about, no shit. Pardon the French, people are...
Cussing on our podcast. Unbelievable.
No wonder there are a lot of stories about things happening, because the majority of people out there that these things happen to don't do what you were just talking about. The majority of gun-related instances where your kids are getting injured or killed or people are having issues is because there's a level of disrespect for what it is that you're keeping in your house or holding in your hand. So it starts very young, and you can be a part of solving or keeping the gun... Guns in the way they are right now, or
and I know, part of and I know issue. If I have my kids in the woods, I mean, it's not by our law, we don't have to have any orange on in the spring. You're sure my kids got orange on, man. You know, they got orange on walking in, walking out. You just don't know who you're going to run into.
Yep.
And it's all over a turkey. It's a turkey, man. You're going to put somebody else's life at risk for a turkey. Come on. Mm-hmm.
It's just the adrenaline gets you. You know, I understand, I hate to say that I understand what these guys are doing, like that shot in the video that I posted on PA Rep Report today, that, you know, this guy got shot, you know. He did have a turkey fan behind him, like just sitting there, because I guess that was his deal with the, with, you know, but I guess the adrenaline gets to you, and you see that turkey there, and you know it's there, and blah, 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 but, you know, this guy, like, they were behind stumps, like, there's no way he saw, you know, and I don't know if it was a gobbler or a hen, I'm not sure about the whole instance of the video, but you have to know what you're shooting at. You have to know. I know that adrenaline gets you, and you may see things that you that's not there. But
exactly,
you know,
right.
The adrenaline gets you, and you just like boom. You know, you pull up and you shoot. You can't do that, especially in turkey season. You can't just. You have to know, identify your target in any season. But you know, turkey is one thing that, you know, you sit there and be, you know, you're sitting there calling. You've got to know that somebody's not going to shoot you from behind.
Yeah.
You know, it's you have to identify your target. We're very, very fortunate that PA Rep Rob and I, are very, very fortunate that we hunt private ground. So pretty much know that there's pretty much nobody on that ground that isn't supposed to be. You guys hunt a lot of public land. So I'm sure, like you said, run into a lot of guys that are responding to your calls. And, you know, you have to address that with those guys. But thank God that, you know, they don't just start unloading on your decoys or something like that, you know.
Free for all.
And so, that's one thing that I worry about, hunting public land with decoys. Do you guys hunt with decoys on public land?
I don't. We don't use decoys.
Like, you think that these guys are, like, walking up, like, oh, there it is. That's what I've been hearing. Whack, you know. And they shoot. You know, I can see that happening quite a bit. Especially in Pennsylvania, as polluted as the woods are with the public ground. So, you know.
So we're running a little short on time. Like we always say with these podcasts, an hour's worth of time or half an hour's worth of time seems like 2 or 3 minutes worth of time when you're talking about something that you're passionate about, drinking a couple of brews. Getting back to you guys' product. So we were talking earlier about what you would do if you were a fledgling hunter, just getting into it, what you should start with if you're hunting turkeys. The pot calls and just turkey calls in general, I attribute it a lot to trying to play like a wind instrument. Like you pick up a saxophone, you're like, I play this thing. You like blow into it and no sound comes out. You're like, what? It does take a little bit.
I was a football player, man.
I was a football player. But hey, just in general, just draw a comparison.
What flute were you playing?
What flute?
I don't know. Thank God I didn't play football with
that. I won't answer that question. but it does take a certain level of skill and finesse. Like you
practice,
pick up a pot call.
Practice.
You pick up a pot call and you've never used one before. The odds of you making a sound on that thing that you would need to make to draw a turkey in or to sound like you knew what you were doing, it's not, you can't just pick it up and do it.
It's like anything, man. It's like it's practice, just like baseball. If you want to be a pitcher, man, you got to practice. You know, it's just practice.
Yep. All right, so at the end of our deal here, we had about 7 more conversations we should have had here, but it's going to take about another hour and a half to do so. But, you know, we had a good time with these guys from Tipton Creek Turkey Calls. Thank you for being here. Brother Roy's page, we want to thank him for being here as well. I know he didn't talk a whole lot.
I'm going to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Your spiel.
Go ahead.
So we're sitting here talking about, two things. Before we get into the foraging and Brother Roy, because I got a story about it. Tipton Creek Turkey Calls is putting on an event this year, and I'll let them talk a little bit more about it. It's not necessarily an event, but something that you can participate in that makes the season more exciting.
Yeah, what we came up with, everybody has a big buck contest. You have your big buck. In PA, I know you know how big the big buck contests are, huge. We're just kicking it around one night, and we call it the King of Spring. So what you have to have, you can go to our Facebook page. It's on our Instagram site. It's on our webpage. The rules, it's going to be longest beard. Take your spurs. You times them by 3. You have to have a picture of you, the bird, the tag with the tag on it, and a Tipton Creek turkey call in the same picture. Then you're going to send it to us. And then the end of the year, we got a real nice trophy made for whoever's going to be the King of Spring for the year.
King of Spring, you hear it right now. So we have to get this out.
When you say,
it could be a kid.
You can be the King of Spring for 1 year. So the King of Spring, the rights to being the King of Spring is not, you have to earn that. So every year it switches. The king gets the trophy every year.
We'll have a different trophy made.
Not everybody gets a participation sticker right
now. Yeah, no participation trophies.
Good.
No participation trophies.
Good.
Along with the trophy, we have a little gift deal we'll give them too. We'll throw some stuff together. And
I think we could throw something into that hat.
Yeah, we can get a hat in there.
Speaking of, we got hat shirts. We'll throw something in.
So Pierre Rapaport will join up with the Tipton Creek Turkey Calls, and we'll give you a little. I know we're PA Rapaport, but we're much more than that.
So much more.
Just a catchy name we threw out there. You know, get you guys all involved.
So check that out. Primarily on your Facebook page, that's where you're going to be able to find that type of information. So we'll be sharing some information about the Tipton Creek Company over the next couple of days. Again, they have a website. What's your website?
TiptonCreekTurkeyCalls.com.
And pretty easy to find on Facebook. We were breaking off and talking about Brother Roy.
Yeah.
Just a real quick story while we're sitting here about 15, 20 minutes ago. Brother Roy's talking about morel mushrooms. They're coming up. He's going out and he's finding them. He sets a bag on the table.
He just set a whole bag of morels on the table.
For those that don't really know what they are or what they look like or the size of them, these are like softball, baseball, tennis ball size morel mushrooms.
So
pretty impressive. So yeah.
At any rate, Brother Roy is the forager of the group. He knows his stuff out there. So if you have any questions, get on Brother Roy
Seedman
on Facebook. And he opened up a new business. It's called the Back 40 Seed Company. We want to thank Tipton Creek Turkey Calls for being here. You guys have a website that you guys threw out there, www.TiptonCreekTurkeyCalls.com. And you have an Instagram, I would assume.
Yeah,
so you want to go ahead and throw that, Tipton Creek Turkey Calls. Yep. And your Facebook page is pretty easy to find. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. It was a great episode. I think it's one of our best. And you guys have a good night.
What about us? Wait, what about us?
They know who we are.
We're the PA Rapaport. You can find us online at PAReport.com.
All you got to do is research PA Rapaport. We're the first pop-up on Google, pal.
If you enjoy what you're hearing tonight and you want to hear more, we have a series of 28 podcasts that you can access via our website, PAReport.com. And, again, as Brad said, thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Tipton Creek Boys, Brother Roy. Sign off.
All right.
Till next time.